Judges chapter number 6, verses 12 through 17. Yes, Lord. But when we think of ourselves, how many of us think of our strength and the wonderful stuff about us?
All right, man.
I know there's some of us with egos, and every time we think about ourselves, that's how we think of how big and strong we are. But the truth of the matter is that when most people think of themselves, they think about their shortcomings. They think about their weakness. They think about their struggles in life. And because what we think about paints a picture of what we see in our God. When you begin to think about yourself, you begin to show the world, this is the faith that I have in God. And so what you say in your thinking, God answer your prayers, He bring it or He manifests it. The problem with that is that we refuse to think of ourselves what God thinks of us. We refuse to think of ourselves how God created us. And so because we are in resistance with what God has already said, God sometimes will take us and He'll place us somewhere, and God will allow us to deal with our weakness. You see, when God begins to deal with your weakness, what God knows about us is that because He created us, He knows we all have some issues. Now, for the person that has an ego and you can't see yourself and you think that you're all perfect, that's why you end up going through the same storms time after time after time again, because God is trying to get you to see that you're not all that. Before God can use you, God first has to kill you.
Right.
You gotta die in order to live.
Right.
Because as long as you're living, you're in competition with God.
Amen.
But because of Adam's sin, who placed us in competition with God, God has to then give us a rebirth in order to bring us back into the will and the plan of God. Where you are tonight is no surprise to God. Where you are, meaning what you're going through, how you feel, your fears, everything about you tonight, God is saying, I allowed you to be there. We sometimes jump holy and say, well, how can God be a loving God and allow me to be in this situation? Who told you that your situation was a bad place to be? How will you know that God is a healer if you are never sick? How do you know that God will meet your needs if you never have any needs? How do you know that God will show up in the midnight hour if you never find yourself in a dark place? So God sometimes has to move so that He can show us who He is and what He desired to do for us. God works in seasons. Every day won't be sunshine. You're going to go through some valleys, over some mountains in life. It's just life. And the Bible declares it rains on the just as well as the unjust. I don't know who fooled us, who lied to us and said once you become a child of God, everything going to be all right. I don't know who tricked us by telling us once you believe in God and you join the church, everything, all temptation just go away. My friends, I have some news for you. And that is when you come closer to God, as you begin to come pull to God, more things will come after you. And so we wonder, why do we always find ourselves challenged or going through something? It's because Satan wants to distract you. If you were just serving the world and you were just doing his thing, why would he fight against his own? So when you turn and you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to jack this thing up and I'm going to miss you over half of the time, but I am going to seek after you. And when you begin to seek after God, God says, I'm going to open some path. I'm going to make it possible that you can come to me. And so when we begin to walk toward God, it gets dark and we say, God, why has thou forsaken me? And God is saying, I'm still in the same place. Just because you can't see seeing doesn't mean I'm not there.
Amen.
Have you ever found yourself in a place and you couldn't see God, but you felt His anointing, you felt His presence, and you knew that God was right there, and in spite of you not being able to see with your natural eyes, your faith says, keep going.
Yes.
Now, I know it may be a storm ahead, but I gotta press my way through because I've come too far to turn around.
Yes.
I don't know what's ahead, but I know the hell that I've been through,
right.
So I'm gonna press my...
Yes.
God allow us to be in places. And He shows us that where we are is not where we're going to stay.
Thank you, Lord.
God sets you up so that you can experience or you can have some life-changing experiences. When you bump your toe, that doesn't change your thoughts. But when you find yourself really in need, cancer over here, foreclosure over here, see, and God steps in, those moments become the life-changing experiences where God is saying, if I had not allowed those things to happen, your life would have never changed. I'm glad God changed my life because where I was going,
all right now,
you think it's hot in here.
All right.
Had it not been for the grace of God, we'll tear hell up.
Right open.
Bust it.
Right open.
And God is saying, but you don't have to do that. Because I give you an escape. Okay, God, what's the escape? The escape is if you'll confess your sins and believe in me,
yes,
then I'll turn your situation around.
Amen.
But God, you don't. You don't understand. Because I got some stuff in my life that I haven't fixed.
Yes.
And I can only imagine God sitting sometimes and saying, well, let me see how long it's going to take this fool to figure out he can't fix it.
All right.
Oops, that didn't work. Okay, you're going to try something else. Let me watch you. Hey, Job and Abraham and Moses, come here. Watch him. He's going to try to fix that. Oops, that didn't work. And then you get in a place and you say, Lord,
yes,
I surrender.
Yes, yes.
I surrender. And then God says, okay, they're getting it. They're getting it. See, but God has to allow us to get there. And if we won't get there, look at verse number 1. I want you to see this. God, when He created you, He had a plan for you.
Amen.
And because God had a plan for you, but yet your disobedience and because of you're so stubborn, in verse number 1, watch what God does. And the children of Israel represents the church. They did what? In the sight of the Lord. And the Lord did what? Now, wait a minute. Now, it says, the church sinned, and God says, here, Satan.
You have.
Yeah. They're not listening. Here.
That's right.
You ever feel like that sometimes?
Yes.
For God, loving God.
Yes.
Says, here, Satan.
That's right.
And He just gives Satan to you. And Satan, like, yeah, I'm going to wear him out. Because God delivered him. So that means that God is angry. And God is mad. And God is saying, no, I still love you. I just know the plan that I have for you. See, the plan that God has for you is greater than anything else. And so what God says is because of your sin, your evil, God delivered you. Your place is not your position in the kingdom of God. Where you are tonight is not your position in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you are a daughter of God or a son of God. My place may be bankruptcy, but that's not who I am. That's one of the moments in life. That's a season in life. So you can't claim your place in life because that's not who you are. If you begin to claim your place in life, somebody says, cancer, you're so crazy. You ask and say, me? Somebody says, broke, you say, me? That's not who you are.
No.
You are a child of God in spite of where you are. Know this, where you are is a season. You're not going to stay there. You don't live there. God just allow you to go through that because He got a plan on the other side, but He has to stretch you. God
God takes the church.
Can you believe that? God takes the church and deliver the church to the Midianites.
Say, here, you can have them. They won't listen to me. Maybe you can deal with them. Look at verse number seven. And it came to pass when the children of Israel did what? Not until they cried out unto the Lord that God moved.
You're going through something and you're crying, but you're not crying out. Crying out is, Lord, forgive me. Crying is an emotion. How I feel. Oh, I'm sad. I'm scared. God is not concerned about that. What he wants you to do is turn. That's what he's trying to position you for, is a life-changing experience where you turn. So sometimes he'll allow something to happen that is so bad, so painful. He still loves you, but he wants you to turn so that he can bless you.
Amen.
They cried out. Now, when they cried out to the Lord, and then in verse number 8, somebody read verse number 8 and watch what happened after they did something. Then God moved.
See, sometimes we're waiting on God to do something, then we'll do this. And God is saying, you first, baby. You first. See, we got to drop some stuff before God can come in. Inside of us, we're just full of stuff. Okay, y'all hold it. Inside of me is sin, hatred, unforgiveness, and all sorts of stuff. I'm talking about me. And God is saying, I'm not coming in there. So until you cry out, until you say, forgive me, I'm not coming in. When you say, Lord, forgive me, and invite God to come in, then you make room.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse number 8. Watch this. Read verse number 8, please, somewhere.
That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel.
Watch this.
Which said unto them.
Wait, Cheryl. Okay. When they cried out unto the Lord, they moved, then God sent a prophet. Now, understand this about a prophet. That the responsibility, the duty of or calling of a prophet is not to line you up and say, God told me to give you $100, and told put you in a $500 line, and put you in a $3,000 line. That's not the responsibility or the calling of a prophet.
Thank you, Lord.
That's not it.
Thank you.
Notice what God does. He calls a prophet, and a prophet is to proclaim what he heard from God.
That's right.
God doesn't need your money.
Amen.
Let me talk about money. When you bring the tenth, God doesn't need it.
That's right.
Because the truth of the matter is, plenty doesn't bring it, and he still looks after his house.
That's right.
And if you don't believe that, when you didn't have a job and a tip to give, he still bless you because he doesn't need your money.
That's right. Hallelujah. Bless your heart.
They move, then God says, now I'll send a prophet.
All right, man.
Now, prophet, all I need you to do
is
listen. All I need you to do, all I need you to do is say what I said to
you.
I don't need you to impress nobody.
Amen.
I don't need you to build up a little entourage around you.
That's right.
I just need for you to simply say what I told you to say. Now, if you feed the people what I fed you, everything will be all right. Everything will be just fine. But now, if you go on your own agenda, you're going to mess yourself up and you're going to mess the house up. That's why so many houses are messed up, because we preaching what I want you to hear. We preach it so we can increase the budget instead of preaching so we can pour an anointing and a spirit within some souls.
Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
So he calls the prophet. And he says to the prophet, just go. I got a word. Just go.
Tell him.
And so the prophet went. And as the prophet went, the first thing that God did was God dealt with the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a preacher and don't even know who you are.
That's right.
See, I don't want to talk about this, but don't get off. Let me tell you why why a lot of people, I believe, go into the ministry.
All right, now.
Because you don't have to pass a test to do this.
That's right.
All I got to do is say, the Lord told me to go. And the Lord told me that you were going to come and you were going to support me. The Lord told me that. The Lord told me on the fifth day of every month, you bring the check. The Lord told me that. See, we fool people.
All right, now. All right.
We fool people.
That's the way falling away.
You got so many preachers that are insecure.
All right, now.
So many preachers that can't make it out there where you make it.
All right.
Half of them been fired from their job. Jeez. Half of them been through this and through that. Then they preach and they want a Lord over you. Okay. Let me see you fix yourself first before you try to tell me. And don't you hate it when people are disconnected from what you're going through? Here you are talking about your 9 to 5 and things that you're going through, and somebody come to the church every day and burn the air that you pay for just sitting back there turning the Bible. You go home, burn your own lights, and turn your Bible.
All right, man. All right, man.
Amen. I'm sorry, I'm talking about
that's all right.
Teach,
great Father.
Look, so God, before God begins to use the prophet, God has to deal with the prophet.
Yes.
And so in verse number 12,
yes.
He says, Gideon, I know what you think about yourself. You just told me.
Told
me you from a bad family and you poor and you the least of them. So I got to change your mind to change your picture.
That's right.
Because if the preacher can't see, how can he paint a picture of vision? Without vision, the people do what? So he has to show Gideon who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Not how you feel.
Who you are.
Boy, I gotta show you who you are.
That's right.
Look at verse number 12. Read verse number 12, please.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him.
Now stop. Now the angel of the Lord generally in the Old Testament is Jesus.
All right, now.
Got it?
All right.
So we think that Jesus was born in the book of Matthew.
No.
That's the body. The spirit has been here. Oh, remember the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're
right.
Three, but they're one.
That's right.
Okay, keep reading.
That's right.
And said unto him, the Lord is with thee.
Now, be assured that I'm going to take you somewhere, but God is with you.
That's right.
Now, he says to him, I know what you think about yourself. I know that you just came out of a cave.
Yeah.
Because when God delivered them, they start living in a cave. They were running.
Yeah.
Big, strong Christian folks full of faith, but hiding out in a cave.
Yeah.
I wonder where you're living tonight.
All right.
I wonder what's your prison tonight.
All right.
I wonder what's holding you back tonight. I wonder what has you in shackles tonight.
Right.
I wonder what is preventing you from experiencing the liberty of the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy, Jesus.
Keep reading.
Oh, Jesus.
Thou mighty man of valor.
Now wait. God says to the prophet, the one that just came out of the cave, God called him a mighty man of valor.
Yes.
I can only imagine that Gideon said, God, I don't know what side you woke up this morning, but you obviously don't know me.
All right, man.
If you think I am a mighty man of valor, meaning brave, how can I be brave when I'm living in a cave running? Remember, your position on the earth or your place here is not your position in the kingdom.
That's right.
So just because somebody has more money than you doesn't mean that they're better than you.
That's right.
Just because somebody can quote more scriptures than you doesn't mean that they have an anointing that is greater than you.
Yeah.
So where you are has nothing to do with how God sees you. They have nothing to do with one another. And so God says, prophet, I got to deal with you. So I got to tell you who you are. Now when God tells him who he is, God then instructs him as to how you got to walk.
All right, now. All right.
Meaning this, when you know who you are,
yes, Lord.
The stuff you used to run from, bring it on.
All right, man.
I'm not scared of that.
All right, man.
You going to do what to me? Go ahead. Because last year I went through the same thing 2 times and I'm still standing because I know the God that I serve will never leave me, never forsake me. Now you going to do what to me?
All right, man. All right.
God move.
moves because God has a plan for his life.
Yes.
The plan that God has for his life is a plan of victory and success. And that same plan God has for your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you got to follow me quickly. God has a plan for your life. It's victory and success. Now, but because God has a plan, look at verse number 13, please. Read verse number 13.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord...
If. Conditional. If. Keep reading.
If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the...
But. Now, watch what he does. He says, if. The word if is a conditional word.
Yeah.
Then later he says, but. But is a cancellation. So you go from a condition to a cancellation. If, God, you do this, then. And God is saying, I don't have to prove anything to you.
Right.
There's no if, there's no but. God is pushing you to a place where you say, yes, God, no buts. Just have your way. Now, I know that you're going to go through something that you're not going to like. So God moves you from knowing that he has a plan for your life, and he begins to take you through a process. Now, the process is never going to be cool. The process that God puts you in, God often will put you under what you're over.
Mm. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, now.
Amen. Yeah, Lord.
You remember the book of Genesis? He says, I give you dominion. Dominion is authority over something.
Yeah.
But how often in life we find ourselves being under what God has assigned us to be over?
Right.
How often in life we find ourselves worrying about death and God has already placed us over everything by supplying all of our needs? How often we find ourselves under our medical condition when Jesus says, by my stripes you're healed?
Yeah.
Sometimes God will let you be under what you're over so you can look up and see him.
Yeah.
So he begins to take you through a process. And verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go. The process. You got to go. You got to move. See, faith is never stationary.
That's right.
The problem we have with so many churches, missionary Baptist churches, is that you're not on a mission. We're just stationary. So it shouldn't be missionary Baptist. It should be stationary Baptist. Because we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission says go.
That's right.
It didn't say sit and I'll send you.
That's
it says go.
That's right. That's right.
So he begins to take us through the process. He moves from a plan of God, take us through a process, and verse number 15. Listen to verse number 15. And said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. In other words, sometimes God wants you to see who you are so he can move you then to perfecting. Now, perfecting is not sinless. Job was a perfect and upright man. Ooh, Job never sinned. No, no, he didn't say that. Says Job is a perfect and upright man. Perfect in the Bible has to do with maturing.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you're growing up. It means the stuff that scared you yesterday don't bother you today.
Right.
It means the stuff that you stayed up last night, you should stay up the same night tomorrow about the same thing.
Right.
Because God is perfecting you. Now, if you want to take gold and perfect it, you have to put a match to it. You have to burn it. The harder the fire is to gold, the more it purifies. God dropped you off in the fire. Not because he was trying to burn you. He was simply trying to perfect you. He was simply saying, I need to burn a little bit of this off you and a little bit of that. But God, it's hot and it hurts. I know, but I still got to do just a little bit here because I'm the potter and I know how I need to shape you because I know where you're going. If I shape you right, I know what you can squeeze through. And even though your credit is bad, when you get ready to plop for the house, I let you squeeze
thank
right
you,
through.
Lord.
Ah.
Thank you, Lord.
He's perfecting you. He's maturing you. And so he moves you from the plan of God to the process to perfecting you. When God begins to perfect you, you first have to see yourself as a humble servant of God. And the last point tonight is this. Look at verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely. In other words, God says, I know the plan that I have for you, but you got to go through a process, and I'm going to perfect you in the process. Now, surely, in other words, now I'm going to propel you. I'm going to restore unto you everything that Satan tried to take from you. I'm going to propel you to where your position in the kingdom is and not on this earth. Because you don't live here, you just passing through here. You live in heavenly places.
Yeah.
And you understand where you live, you understand who you are and where your position is. God is shooting somebody forward tonight. You've been through something, and God simply wants you to say, yes, God, yes, no but. Yes, God. You send me and I'll go.
All right, man.
Thank you, Lord.
Now watch this. As God begins to propel them, he says, surely. In other words, you can rest assured you're going to fulfill what it is I call you. Mm-hmm. Now, verse number 17. And he said unto him, if now. Now, before it was, if you God, then show me this. But he says, if now what? Me. God, you proved yourself to me. Now I want you to find favor in me.
Yes.
So
if now
what?
I have found grace.
What? Grace. Now wait a minute. Now grace is saying that Gideon went through the process.
Mm-hmm.
He bumped his toe. God even allowed some people to look in his closet and see his stuff. But it wasn't that thing that held him back. He says, I graced you into this season. Somebody here tonight needs to understand that even though you got some stuff in your closet, grace is keeping you right now. Even though you don't qualify for where you are, God is saying, this is the season of grace. I know you don't deserve it, but I'm going to grace you right now. I'm glad. Sometimes I hear God says, you know, God, if there's anything I'd like you pour out, I love to say that myself, but God, please don't. Just give me some grace. Please don't let that door swing open. You know, if God allows somebody to look in your closet,
right,
you
now.
Go.
Yep.
So he has to put the curtain of grace up.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, mercy.
Doesn't mean you don't ask forgiveness for your sins.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
But he says, talk to me.
Thank you, Lord.
Talk to me. Now, Susie can't answer your prayer.
Right.
Talk to me.
Right.
Jesus is on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. Whatever it is, if you need your soul saved, call him up. If you need finances, call him up. If you need healing, call him up. If you need friends, call him up. I'm glad he's never sleeping. I'm glad he never slumps. I'm glad I can call him in the midnight hour. I'm glad he never leaves me. I'm glad he never forsakes me. I'm glad he's a friend that sits closer than a brother. I'm glad he's my all in all. Have you ever tried the Lord? I'm talking about really tried the Lord. And when you tried the Lord, you discovered how bad he is. Just how good he is. You discovered that God is standing by you and nobody can knock you down. You discovered that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Have you ever tried the Lord?
Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Master.
Remove the buts.
Yes.
But is a condition. And it gets in our way.
Yes, Lord.
As we stand tonight in closing, I want to speak to somebody tonight. You know what God is saying to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Your butt is doubt. You know what God is saying to you. And your butt is somebody else's whispering in your ears. I want you to get your butt out of the way.
All right now.
Get your butt out of the way. And simply say, yes, God.
Yes.
I know you got a plan for me. I know you're not going to give it to me. So I know it's a process. But I know that as you begin to take me through this process, you got to perfect me.
Yes, Lord.
And I know that once you perfect me to a point where you can grace me in this season,
You got to propel me. These things I know about you. Because you are a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. I know this about you. I want to speak to that person here tonight that perhaps don't know Christ as their personal Savior. And your butt is, people are looking. I wonder what they're going to say. Don't worry about that. Just come as you are.